still lost in the worship and the communion. Father, thank you. Just pray that you'd take the words that you put on my heart weeks ago, Lord, and let it come through this morning in the shape and the form that you want it. Give us ears to hear what the Spirit is saying, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks for that song selection, Anna. Perfect. All the stuff that you sang in the order was perfect. The whole service and order of the service has been perfect. Having the children up here, everything's been perfect. Songs about shining, being and experiencing his glory. Freedom. Freedom reigns. This amazing grace that we have. We come before you in your splendor. It's also connected with what the Father's been putting on my heart for some weeks. And as I've been walking down the hill, I've been preaching this for several days. And I thought, I wish I had a tape recorder. And I've been down here several Saturday nights, the same thing. It's just been on my heart. But 2 days ago, I do a lot of exercise, and I didn't wind down properly, and I didn't rehydrate and all that sort of stuff, or whatever you do. And anyway, I ended up with, and it happens from time, with, you know, huge cramp in my legs, these big muscles up the top here. And so I got up and I had some salt, took a wee, and I thought, oh, I'm alive. I'm actually, my brain's really, I had a bit of chocolate before I went to bed, so I'm really buzzing. So it was about midnight. So I picked up a pen and paper and I wrote the sermon out, you see. It's there. I think I finished about 1:30 a.m. or something. So then I thought I'd better rewrite that so that I can follow what I feel the Lord's put on my heart this morning. And it's all to do with Mark. It's a great book. You know, it's been said that Mark's gospel is the story of the cross with a long introduction. And that's why it seems to fit so perfectly with what I feel the Spirit's been showing me this morning. And really, you know, the story begins with a bunch of guys that Jesus calls to follow him. As we heard, and as we've heard recently, and certainly last week, as Chris shared from chapter 8, Jesus was now focusing on teaching his followers, his disciples. He was preparing them for his death, for his resurrection, for his ascension. Put a lot of focus and attention on this. But you know, the funny thing is they didn't really get it. That their friend was the one that they had been following, the one that was doing many signs and wonders, miracles, was in fact the Savior of the world, the actual Son of God, the promised one, the Messiah, Emmanuel, God with us. They didn't get it. This is why he had to focus on them, to prepare them, because they were going to carry the message out. You know, when Jesus came, the kingdom of God broke through. It broke through, and things would never, ever be the same for mankind. A shift so immense, incredible proportions, was taking place. Transfiguration was already instilled. But you know, like all the others, they were expecting a king who would openly, blatantly reign and take over the Roman Empire. An obvious king to rule and lead the people out of captivity. One with robes, you know, one who had hierarchy, who had rank, who had superiority. That's what they were expecting. So they didn't get it. Jesus then began to prepare them, to draw their focus in for what was about to take place. And as is recorded in Matthew, Luke, and Mark, they say all the same thing. He said this: if you want to be my disciple, you need to put aside your own desires and conveniences. I'm paraphrasing this, and you need to take up your cross daily, not weekly, not when you go to church, daily, and follow me. Then he also went, and he was addressing the crowd at that stage. He also went and said, for whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me and the gospel will save it. Wow, what a shock for the boys and the girls. Taking up a Roman cross. What would you think? Jesus was getting his team ready to impact the world. In chapter 9, verse 1, Jesus said, I tell you the truth, some of you who are standing here will not taste death before they see the kingdom of God come in power. And sometimes we gloss over that verse. Powerful verse. I'm sure that this amazing statement wasn't understood at the time. Even today, people struggle with it. I believe there are two parts to this. He was actually referring to his resurrection and ascension. And some of them would be present for that. But I believe that Jesus was also referring to the baptism of the Holy Spirit that would be available after his death and resurrection and ascension. That the kingdom of God present will come in power. The baptism. He told his disciples, as you recall, to wait. Don't go anywhere. He knew the mission they were on. Don't go anywhere. Stay. Wait. Until what? Until my Holy Spirit, who I'm going to ask the Father to send, comes. The baptism of fire. The Holy Ghost. When we become followers of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit comes and dwells within us. Jesus told his disciples that they would receive this baptism. I'm repeating myself. That the Holy Spirit coming upon us would enable us to go and do the things that Jesus did. Because without that, it's impossible. He's given us an impossible thing to do. To live the life as followers of Jesus. For these young people to live the life as followers of Jesus is actually impossible without the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit. We are transfigured. We are transformed by the Spirit. Going on from chapter 9, it says here of the transfiguration, it says, after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John with him and led them up a high mountain where they were all alone. There he was transfigured before them. His clothes became dazzling white, whiter than anyone in the world could bleach them. And there appeared before them Elijah and Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Then further down it says, the voice of the Father came and said, this is my Son, whom I love. Listen to him. Here's a little reference from the Revival Bible. My eyes are a bit blurry. Talking about Mark 9. I think it's Matthew 17 from memory as well. What an incredible experience. The same glory under the old covenant was confined to the holiest of holies and could not be seen by all. But now the high priest of in all his glory was visible before their very eyes. Under the old covenant, the cloud of incense would partially hide the brilliance of his glory. This was the glory that appeared to Abraham and Moses. The church desperately needs a fresh revelation of the glory of Jesus Christ. To see him again as the creator and sustainer, the Alpha and Omega, our great high priest and intercessor. To know him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the supreme head of the church, his body, the Son of the living God. Here we read that Jesus took his three special friends. Isn't it interesting that he had special friends? Actually, he's told me that I'm a special friend of his as well. Isn't that cool? And you are a special friend of his also. And you know, the more we let him know us, the more we kind of become, I think, kind of more special. And I have a feeling that he even allows us to have more of his favor on us and in our family. So here we read where Jesus took his three special friends, Peter, James, and John, for a walk up the mountain. I think it was Mount Hermon. But why did he go there and why did he take them? I've been milling this over. I think it's Jesus being the man because he was a God-man, right? He came in the flesh. I think he needed a bit of encouragement. I think he needed this. That's why he met Moses and Elijah up there. They came to encourage him. But I think also there was something to do with the demonstration that something new was going to happen. Something they'd never seen before. Something new was going to happen. The kingdom was going to break through in a startling way. No longer the old covenant with Moses covering his head, but a new covenant where man was going to have direct access, imagine this to them, direct access into God's presence, which indeed would be absolutely glorious. This was new to them. You see, Jesus knew this glory. Jesus knew this glory. He lived in this glory. You know, he actually lived in this glory before he had a meeting with Elijah and with Moses. He was there. He is the I Am. He was actually there. He knew this glory. He's the I Am. In the book of Luke, it tells us that Moses and Elijah were talking to Jesus and encouraging him about his departure. The three friends were half asleep at the time when suddenly they were woken up by this radiant, bright light. But it was kind of like a hologram. It was incredible. It was intense light. The glory came, and unlike Moses where it just sat on his head and he would walk around and put something, a scarf over his head, the glory came, but it was over the whole being. It's like he radiated it. They were freaking out, these guys. It was just blowing them. They'd never seen anything like it. I don't know if I've seen anything like it. It was incredible. Jesus' whole being shone. It was like he was telling us, you know, you're going to have this robe of righteousness, which I'm going to put upon you when you become followers of me. And we have that, by the way. Talk about that in a minute. He offers us that. You know, I think then at that very moment, the three friends realized that Jesus was indeed significant, even though they still kind of didn't get it. But especially when the Father said to them, "This is my Son whom I love. Listen to him. Listen to him." You see, the next few days, if you read the book, Jesus was going to give them some very detailed instruction. But at that time, they would have been just like stunned mullets, I reckon. My friend used to use the term, they were like startled stags. He used to tell me, like, startle stags, like a stag walking out, and all of a sudden, you know, the headlights of the car hit them. It's like, oh, what is this? They couldn't verbalize what they had seen. In fact, Jesus instructed them not to tell anyone until he had risen from the dead. But even this confused them. Risen from the dead? What's he talking about? Even though he'd been telling them, what are they talking about? And man, we're like them, these guys. Don't we get it? Don't we get who the King of Kings and Lord of Lords that we've been worshiping this morning? Do we get it? You know, when we become followers of Jesus, his glory comes onto us. It comes upon us. We shine. We're transformed. We may not feel it at times, but it is seen by others. And I was talking to a couple of people during the week. It's like you put a hat on your head and you get used to wearing that hat. You know, you don't think about it. You know what I mean? Perhaps it's like women with earrings and things. You don't see it, these beautiful earrings and things. But others see it. They see it. You see, that's what I'm talking about here. The glory of the Lord comes upon you when you're born again. You've got it. I can see it this morning. Man, I'd love to prophesy over each one of you because the things that God has got for you is incredible. Incredible things on you and for your children, for your families. We shine. The baptism of the Holy Spirit causes us to radiate his love and his glory. I still remember the first time when I was baptized, the first time in the Holy Spirit. I remember the first time Chrissy was baptized, she's not here now, in the Holy Spirit. I'll never forget it. I came home from work one day and I knew she said, I've got to get this. I've got to get this. I've got to have what you've got. I've got to have what you've got. So I came home from work early that day. I was working for the government for 23 years, so I was on glide time. So I came home early, and I'm knocking that. And anyway, I took the two boys for a walk up the hill. And I came back, and I walked in the door, and Chrissy just looked different. Totally different. Happy. She said, I've done it. I've been zapped. Because we didn't have a word for it, you see. I've been zapped. The Holy Spirit had come upon her. That's what happens. You get zapped. But my experience is this, that I will not settle for one baptism. I meet people that have been around Pentecost for years. I was baptized in such and such a date. And they're grump. Anyway, the thing is this, that we can have more and more and more and more and more. That's what the river of delights is all about. We can dive into that river time and time and time again. For me, I want more. I'm hungry for more. And I come down here Saturday night and there's only me, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, I hope. And I'm flagging around the place and I flag over every seat and pray for you. And I'm getting, you know what I mean? I want more because there is more. There's heaps more. And if we're gonna stand on the edge of the, I've said this many times, we're gonna stand on the edge of the river and gaze, I'm born again, and gaze across and not walk through and enjoy the river of delights, we're gonna miss out on everything. We'll get to heaven. We're gonna make heaven fine. We get there, but you're going to look back and say, oh, why didn't I jump into that river again and again and again? Arise and shine for the glory of the, arise and shine for your light has come and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. We don't have to wait. He's already here. He's already arrived. We just have to get off our and shine. And even then, we don't have to do it. He does it for us. In 2 Corinthians 3:18, it says, we have been changed from glory to glory. Now, in order to be changed from one, physics, in order to be changed from one state to another state, there needs to be a state at the beginning, right? There has to be. So the way I figure it, when I become a follower of Jesus, his glory does come upon me, as we've talked about before. But then he says we're going to be changed from glory to glory. So I'm on this process now where, okay, a bit more glory. Bit more glory. I'm on this process. I'm going to have more glory, more glory, more glory. You know what I mean? We're on this, all of us are on this process. Even at work, I walk through the door. I'm not grumpy today. Holy Spirit, come with me. Glory. You can impact the whole office. I've seen it. I've been there. I've done it. So there needs to be glory. So you can sit there and say, you don't feel, I don't care what you feel. Got the hat on. There's glory upon you if you're a born-again follower of Jesus. And you're going to be changed from glory to glory. It says that we will be changed into the very, this blows me away, the very likeness of Jesus. The very image of Christ. He's got a lot of work to do on me. I'm telling you that right now. I can tell you that, eh? Even this last week, I've had to work through some issues. Yeah, I can tell you some stories. Like I have my quiet time, I have my regime, which is very, you know, I've got to stick to my discipline. And we had a whole house full of family there for the week. I'm telling stories, but I couldn't have my discipline. You know what I mean? So after they left for work, I snuck into my little room, which was being shared by the others anyway, the little boys. They were gone. And I said, Lord, oh man, I'll catch my breath. I need to have my time with you. You know what he said to me? He said, don't read, rest. Well, come on, God, you know you always... He said, don't. He said, I don't want you to read. I don't want you to do anything. I want you to lie here only for a moment and rest. Come on, God. So I'm on the floor, door shut, and in a moment he came. I might have been there for 5 minutes. But he came and I felt rested. Physically, I could run up this hill. Now, I'm 70 in the shade, but you know what I mean? I can still run. I'm being changed from glory to glory. This is the transfiguring process on a person, or a process of transformation. It is happening. I really believe with all my heart that the word that we had last year for the church, and I think this is for the big church, the big C, I think it's for the church today, is this. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon me. I believe that's for the church today. In fact, even in the last week, I've been Skyping around the world, different people, not, you know, blah, blah, India and so on. But one of the words that's been coming through is that with the passing of one of the big greats, which the latest one, which is Billy Graham, it's the last of the big greats. It's now time for the ordinary people like you and me to arise and shine. The harvest that the Father has for us is too big for one man, one woman. So it's a nameless, faceless movement. In fact, if I'm thinking through some of the prophetic words that were coming through last year, it was this, that he is preparing worshippers, people with pure hearts and pure hands. So we're on a road of preparation. I could talk quite a lot about that, but I think he's calling the church to arise and shine, not to scatter. In fact, if anything, it's a time for us to stay together, encourage and build one another because we're a body. Now, what about the mountain? Well, I think we need to climb the mountain. I think it's time for us, as part of this process, to climb the mountain in the season that we're in. We need to climb the mountain, people. Just as Jesus prepared the disciples for new things, so it is for us. We need to climb the mountain. And for me, I want to meet him face to face. It's scary. But I think that's what he wants. He wants us to have an encounter or encounters with him. Who will ascend the hill of the Lord? He who has a pure heart and clean hands. For us to put aside our desires and convenience and all the stuff, to take up his cross, to take up our cross, whatever it is, and what? To follow him. And Chris challenged us beautifully with this. It was excellent last week. I don't know if it's been taped, but you need to hear it. It was superb. And Chris challenged us, a little snippet at the end. He challenged us last week. He basically said, are you prepared to climb the mountain? You know, as we climb the mountain, we're going to be changed from glory to glory. And we're going to shine. We're going to shine. Are we prepared to make the shift? To let the kingdom values become normal, the new normal? Kingdom values, the new normal. Whether at university, whether at home, in the marketplace, workplace, wherever. kingdom values. These are things that we're endeavouring to teach our students at our Kingdom Ministry School. In fact, our Kingdom Ministry School this year is going to be different to what we've done before, and I don't know anybody else that's actually doing it apart from some of the guys that in Arise who are thinking about doing something similar. Stage two students are going to be doing something like an MBA type thing. We're going to take them through to put workplace values and what it means to plan and manage projects, to have things that, and how to manage staff. We're going to change, make a shift, but it's based on kingdom values. This is our new normal. As you read through the book of Mark, and especially that chapter 9 and 10, we see that Jesus still healed people, he still delivered people, he still set people free. He still did this. You know, the point he was focusing, his focus was to prepare and equip the guys to talk about the resurrection. Blah, blah, we talked about that. He was basically focused on that. But when people came up to him, he still did the stuff. It was like an apprenticeship system which he carried on. Actually, we see the kingdom breaking through as we continue to read that. And nothing is going to stop it. Nothing is going to stop it. When I was down here last night, I was thinking about the lads on the hill doing their stuff. They're serving. They're on the hill to serve you. They're on the hill to serve me. And even though they take the name of Jesus out of the prayer, nothing is going to stop it. Because if you look at our flag, which flies above Parliament, see the cross? The cross is still significant. It's still there. They are only in power because God allows them to be in power. We need to pray for them. So take the name of Jesus out, but you won't remove the work of the cross. I'm pretty hot about that. I did march. He is in control. Whatever happens, his glory light will shine. As we read on through Mark, we see Jesus, again, I mentioned that, continue to focus. You know, Jesus gave full details to the guys about his death. If you read chapter 10, verses 32 to 34, it's probably the most detailed account that you'll read. Jesus went through what must have been the worst possible thing ever. And I don't think words can express or describe what he went through. For we're talking about the Son of God who lived with the Father, who knew what it was like to have the glory, to walk in the glory, to be with the Father. Yet he was prepared as we celebrate, it sounds funny, but as we took the bread and the wine this morning and we sang it in the songs this morning, he was prepared to take humiliation, suffering, rejection, sadness, agony. Every horrible thing that you can think of, he took in his death. But it ended up in triumph when he rose from the dead, when he ascended from on high. From tragedy to triumph. He did that so that you and I might have our sin forgiven, that we might have access to the Father, that we might, it's like metamorphosis, change. Through that incredible event, we can experience transfiguration. We can experience His glory. We can go from glory to glory, and we can arise and shine. Somehow I think the Mount of Transfiguration was the springboard into the sacrifice that Jesus made. It also prepares us, it opens our eyes, as it did the disciples, to a dimension of the kingdom that was like the disciples' experience. Initially it was hazy. Sometimes when we become a follower of Jesus, you know, and we look at some of the things as children, things are hazy. But then all of a sudden, the glory light shines. And we see things, our eyes are open, and we see things that nobody else sees. the realization that the King, the Son of God, has come in all his splendor, a splendor that he knew when he was with the Father, that he was willing to put aside in order to complete the task for which he had come to do. How do we apply this? We're called to be the lights, his lights, the lights of the world. There are many, many references in the scriptures about us being lights. In Ephesians 5, and I'm going to finish off with this, it says, a couple of verses, Paul writes that we are to be imitators of God. Therefore, as dearly beloved children, as imitators of God, therefore, as dearly beloved children, and to live a life of love, just as Christ loved and gave himself to us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice for God. Verse 8, it says, for we were once in darkness, but now you are lights in the Lord. Live as children of the light. Live as children of the light, Jerem, when you go to Taupo. Be the transforming agent and transfiguration, whatever it is, of light in your workplace and in that environment. You guys can transform that city, that town. For the fruit of light consists of goodness, righteousness, and truth. I see those on you, Jerem and Megan. Goodness, righteousness, and truth. That's what this fruit is all about. And then it finishes off in verse 14. It says, wake up, O sleeper. Rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Being love lights, transfigured lights, illuminated by the Holy Spirit, reflecting his glory. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for the love and grace that you've shown to us. Thank you that you love us. Lord Jesus, thank you for giving your life for us. Thank you for being willing to go through what you went through so that the glory that you had known when you were with the Father before you came as a child would be shared with us. Father, I ask that you would help us, that some of the things that we've talked about, that we've sung about this morning, would impact us, that we would be willing to put aside our own desires and conveniences, and as Chris said last week, to take up whatever we need to take up in order to follow you. That it won't be about me, it won't be about me, it won't be about us. It won't be about this church or this denomination, but it'll be about you. That we'll walk and hold our heads up high, Lord, because we're in the process of being changed from glory to glory. That Holy Spirit, you would come upon us again and again and again and help us where you've positioned us, placed us, because I ask this in Jesus' name. Can we all just stand for just a minute? Please, I'm sorry I've gone over time. I just feel to pray over the whole church. Why don't you put your hands on the person next to you, just on their shoulder? Yeah, just get kissy-kissy, hug-hug type stuff. Let's just do it. Not afraid. Okay. Now, I'm just going to pray, then I want you to bless the person on your left and your right, okay? Just bless them. Just bless them. Just simple, just bless them. So Holy Spirit, I ask you right now that you would come, that this day, this 4th of March, will not just be a day that will fade. That, Father, this will be a benchmark for this church, for this city, and for this nation. That we will arise and shine and let your light be reflected through us wherever you have placed us. That, Father, we would seek you face to face. To climb that mountain. I pray, Lord, that we would be again immersed, baptized again in your Spirit. This morning I pray as if I'm walking around laying on hands on each person's head this morning, Lord, that this will become the new normal, like wearing that hat. It will become new, ordinary for us, extraordinary, I should say. So I lay hands on each person's head this morning. Come, Holy Spirit. Push the past back and come and settle on each person this morning. Because I ask it in the mighty name of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, God with us, Emmanuel. Jesus, we are listening to your voice. You instruct us. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. And on our children as well, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now just bless the person next to you, and then we're finished.